So I'm going to count it off. 4, 3, 2, 1. So there's actually music playing as this is happening. So it sounds a lot. You can't hear it? If you can, well, it's there. Welcome to Flooring with Famous.
Audio problem.
You're all Fresno podcast where we talk about Fresno pop culture, Fresno
culture.
And other Fresno related things.
What pop culture?
Pop culture.
Fresno pop culture.
Popular.
Define Fresno culture. Pop culture.
River Park.
Okay. There you go.
And today with us, so as always, it is me, Joshua Teehee, a.k.a. Famous Whitewater, and Mike C. from the Dorktown Network of Podcasts.
Sure.
And we are here to discuss all sorts of cool Fresno stuff. We have guests for the first time in
a while.
A long time.
Yeah.
That we have guests. We'll let you go ahead and introduce yourselves and, you know, be as loquacious.
What the heck? Don't. Just back away. Back away from the word.
Take as much time as you need.
Hi, I'm Jasmine Lacariz, and right next to me is my partner in crime, my husband, and business partner, Omar Nare.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Yeah. And for fans of the show, probably know Omar. It because he has played music around town for a long while with many different people, including Patrick Contreras and others.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Quickly, what are you doing now?
The thing that I'm concentrating on right now, I would say, is my own album. I have this process in my mind of how I'm doing things, and right now I'm in the creative mindset, definitely writing a lot of songs, I'm getting ready to then start editing those songs and really choosing which ones I'm going to.
Now, is this Distrito Torre, or is this something?
This is something that started before Distrito Torre, that I tried to do with Distrito Torre, and then decided that I didn't want to do with Distrito Torre.
Okay.
And so now I'm doing it by myself.
But tonight you're here not to talk about that, but to talk about something that your wife is doing, and we will get to that in a few short minutes, hopefully. Yeah. But before we do,
hopefully. That means then you won't be talking. You're gonna have lame segments about what you're gonna talk about.
True. The show is all about
We're
Fresno stuff, so we always
sure.
like to do, you know, Fresno news, Fresno happenings, etc. And so we have a couple of things. Well, Mike always has notes. So, Mike, do you have? I know what I want to talk about.
I know. You reminded me. I almost forgot about the article or whatever it was. Under 35 Fresno.
Livability index.
Yeah. We're better than New York.
So there was this. We are better than New York. No, we're not. I'm sorry. We're not better than New York.
We're not?
We're right under New York, but we're better than San Diego.
Ooh.
According to this livability index. So there was a.
We are better.
So this website called Voactive. It's an online magazine. They did a livability index and essentially put together a list of cities that they felt were the most livable cities for those under 35 years old. And actually, the survey, the story that they did came out in November, and I guess no one really paid any attention to it or whatever. And then, but last week there was a story in that Al Jazeera America did. That was sort of referencing this survey and using that as the jumping off point, but then talking to other people in town and essentially saying, hey, you know, Fresno is a great place for young people to come. And essentially the main thrust of the article in Al Jazeera was that Fresno is cheap, you know, to live. It's cheap to live here. And, there's easy access to the city's sort of power structures, let's say. So you can come in and really, like, make an impact rather quickly and at a young age, which I think is great. And I'm very interested to hear your take because, you know, obviously Omar playing in a band and you have a dance company that you've started. And so I'm just kind of – I would be interested in your take from, you know, the perspective of someone who's come and started something, tried to create something. You know, I've always felt like Fresno is a great place for people who want to make things because there's no one stopping you from doing it, essentially, and it's really easy to get notoriety for it.
Yeah.
So maybe, you know, what do you guys think? Is Fresno a cool place for young creative people to be?
I definitely think that it is. Speaking about cheap places to live, when we first got married, well, not like right after we go, maybe a year after we got married, we found this apartment. And I'm not kidding you, our rent, it was in the Tower District, it's right by Fresno City College, and our rent was $365. It was a studio apartment, but I mean, $365 a month. I mean, that's cheap, man. Yeah. That was cheap. Yeah, that was nice. Definitely. I mean, it was within walking distance to everything, especially Ming's, that kind of area, you know, but very close to the Tower District. I love that little apartment. And then, you know, now we've moved away, but I do miss it. So cheap, absolutely. Yeah. I think that if you look hard enough, there are even places like 365.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, and I think, you know, living like that and finding a place that was, you know, cheap to live in, it gave us the capability and the you know, the opportunities to do our art, you know, the art that we wanted to
support
do.
Support ourselves.
Support ourselves and just really thrive in what we love to do, you know, and just basically travel more and create our art and, you know, put on shows and things like that. So, yeah.
And I mean, do you feel like you would have been able to, there's always this, you know, like a big fish in a small pond, blah, blah, blah. But it's like, A, Fresno really isn't that small of a pond, really, if you think about it, right? No. I mean, it's not. It's not like we're, you know, Selma or something. I mean, you know, and
we're
B,
like 35th.
I think 34th in the country, 34th. Yeah, and 5th in California.
That's pretty big.
So there's that. And then B, like, what of it? You know, like, big fish in a small, you know. I think that's
it's not a bad thing.
That's okay. Do you feel like you would have been able, I mean, that you could do what you've done if you were in San Francisco, let's say, or New York or Chicago or...
Lately, we've been doing a lot of work in the Bay and in LA especially. And one of the things that I've noticed is that those towns are very distracting from traffic in LA. So you're thinking, you're working in your car, you're thinking about things. But when you get there, you know, you're just distracted. There's like so much to do, so much going on. Same thing with San Francisco. It's a different vibe in the Bay, but it's still distracting, I think. Here in Fresno, you don't have as many distractions. If you want to focus on a project, like a dance thing or a music project, you can actually devote some time.
Yeah.
You know, if you have a decent job and you can cover your expenses,
right?
Then you have you'll have time, I think.
Yeah.
Time, and that's the way it's been for us. Truly, Fresno's allowed us to, like I said, with that cheap apartment, we had money to work on our projects, to figure things out, try things like I had tried the Distrito Tora. And then, you know, you can try things without the pressure of, oh man, I have my rent to pay.
Yeah.
Or,
yeah.
Oh man. Yeah. I think that's one of the nice things.
Yeah, definitely. So I think the answer is Yes. I mean, you know, if we had lived somewhere else, I mean, where there's a will, there's a way.
Yeah, sure.
You know, we have a saying like that in Spanish too, and el querer es poder, and really it's like if you want it, you're going you're going to be able to do it. And so, I mean, we're doing it here in Fresno, and now, you know, we're even doing work outside of Fresno too, so why not? You know, it's like you can do it pretty much anywhere, you know, but you know, Fresno does have a lot of opportunities, and it has a lot of ups to it. Like Omar was saying, you know, it's like, you know, you don't have all these distractions and stuff, but it's, you know,
we got to try things too, which I think was cool. Like about 2 years ago, we brought in a flamenco artist. And truly in Fresno, they would call them aficionados, people that are interested and fans of flamenco, hardcore fans. I would say there's maybe 30. But and so
you know them all.
I know them all. Absolutely, I do know them all. And so we were able to bring this guy, and because of his personality and because of the type of dancer he was, we were able to sell him to a larger crowd. But with that concert, we brought, I think, almost 300 people. It was like 250 to 300. You know, so it was totally new people that hadn't seen flamenco really before. We put a lot of time and effort in promoting it. I remember you even helped with that for sure. we could only do that in Fresno.
Yeah.
We had the resources because Fresno's so cheap to be able to then go and put, you know, go on Great Day.
Right.
And then to get it in the B or, you know, we could do those things.
I think that's exactly the thing, you know, like when you start thinking about it, it's like they talk about the power structures and that's exactly it, you know, that like you can have something and be putting on a show and get on Great Day, which is essentially like the biggest, you know, one of the biggest media outlets. You can get in the B relatively easily. I mean, you have access to things that you probably wouldn't, you know. Could you get on the, you know, front page of the San Francisco, you know,
Chronicle?
Probably not. Could you get on the front page of the Fresno Bee? Maybe, you know. I mean, if you have...
there are a few acts here.
You know, so I think that's a really important part of all of this, you know, is that sort of access, that sort of...
And I was on another podcast, another beer podcast that's based, you know, in Phoenix and LA, and they're asking about Fresno and I was just talking about how in Fresno, if you're doing something creative in whatever niche you're doing it in, if you're doing something mildly interesting and creative, you're going to get noticed.
Right. Yeah.
And that geekery of whatever that is you're doing, whether it's a band, dance, you know,
beer,
yeah, write, you know, blogging, whatever. Yeah. If you're doing something interesting, people that follow that scene know who you are. And I don't know that that's the case in Los Angeles or San Francisco or something.
Yeah, you know, that it's interesting your point there, because it actually brings out some other really good points. I think is that Fresno, in that way, has a unity there, you know, and I think that's why, and like everybody in Fresno loves art and they thrive for art and they're starving for it all the time, and there's a lot of artists here.
Yeah,
so it's like there's really like a unity here about Fresno, you know.
It really is that stupid thing they say all the time, like a big city that feels like a small town.
Yeah.
But I mean, and it's stupid and I don't like saying it because it sounds dumb. Yeah. Like it sounds like, oh, come on, what are you guys? But
but I like that.
But it is, I mean, it's true. I mean, it's 100% true, and it makes us in one way seem stupid because it's like, well, they're a giant city, but they're acting like it's some cow, you know, cow town or whatever. But, you know, I mean, really, it's the truth. And I think if you understand that and you know how to work it, it's totally to your benefit, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A lot of people don't know this, but Fresno musicians actually have a really good reputation outside of Fresno. Mm-hmm. I think to be able to make music for a living here in Fresno, you have to be able to jump into a lot of different styles.
Right,
and,
yeah,
you know, one night you might be playing jazz and the next night you might be singing salsa and the next night you might be playing in a punk band. You know what I mean? And so understanding and having a taste for a wide variety of music, I think a lot of Fresno people are like that. And so when they leave and some of the musicians go and play, I know in LA they love, especially this one, his name is Manuel, loves Fresno musicians because they're so diverse.
Right, they can do anything.
They can jump into a lot of different... Yeah. Roles, you know, a lot of different musical styles, and he loves it.
That's nice.
I remember meeting a guy in the Bay that was this. I remember meeting a guy in Texas that thought the same thing. Like, he was like, heard I was from Fresno, and he, whoa, you're from Fresno. Oh, musicians are so good in Fresno. It's just weird. Like, a lot of people don't know that, but it's, you know.
See, that's the thing that we need to start getting out is like, hey, and it's true. I think most other people, if they're from someplace else or they've been someplace else, they have a different appreciation for Fresno, you know? And the people who are always like, oh, Fresno, it's the people who have been here forever and haven't gone anywhere and
not paying attention.
And don't understand, you know? And it could be that they feel like they're stuck here and they, you know? And I get that. So, yeah, I would probably hate it here too, you know? But if you've been anywhere else, and especially if you've been any place that's crappier than Fresno, then you understand. Like, if you've been to the middle of Nebraska, if you've been to, like, you know, Arkansas, you understand. Like, oh, yeah, Fresno
most cities that aren't on the coast.
Right. You are, this
are
is a,
not as
a
good
metropolis.
As Fresno.
If you've been to Modesto or Stockton.
Or Sanger.
Or there you go.
No, I'm from Sanger. Hey. When I lived in Texas. My dad's work moved us to Texas when I was 15.
Mm-hmm.
And we lived in this place called Del Rio. I called it Dol Rio because literally there was nothing
Del Rio, more like Dol Rio.
There was really one bar, and I was 15, so I couldn't get into that bar.
That was the one thing to do.
And we were right on the border of Mexico, so I mean, I could go over to Mexico and hang out a little bit, but my parents were conservative, so like, really, I wasn't going to go hang out in Mexico, you know what I mean? And so to me, it was so dreadful, Texas. So when I came back to Fresno, and people were saying, oh, the Fresno music scene sucks. I was like, oh, no, this is fantastic.
Yeah, you don't understand.
You don't understand. This is actually really, really cool.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's, because we're talking about this, let's sort of transition and talk about this dance show that you have coming up. It's called Literary Movements.
Right.
And I'll give you all the lowdown. It's happening February 1st, and it's at the Grand, which is right there on Fulton and Tuolumne?
Right across the street from Warner's.
Right across the street from the Warner's. It's on the 10th floor. If you haven't been, have you been up, Mike, to the 10th floor there in the Grand?
No.
It's gorgeous. Awesome. It's really nice.
Is it like the ground floor?
No, it's not like the ground floor at all.
I would describe it more... Maybe without the chandeliers, very Art Deco, but very much like a Cinderella ballroom.
Yeah,
really beautiful, like Palladium style windows. It's just a little more Art Deco style, and then the whole space is a long rectangle, hardwood, like a ballroom floors everywhere. And at the very end is a gorgeous stage, a sound stage where you could put a band really with no amplification and kind of fill that space with room. Ooh. It's really beautiful space, man.
Yeah, it's
maybe
a cool...
there's a new Fuse stage.
Yeah, I know. I was thinking about that.
It's beautiful.
So tell us a little bit about the literary movements. That probably gives a hint as to what you're doing here. But give us a little bit of an idea about the show and sort of where it came from, and you know what you're trying to do.
Right. Well, literary movements is basically about taking words, literature, you know, poems, things that inspire my company and I to create dances and just move and, you know, with what we read, you know, what does it mean to us? What do we feel? What do we think? You know, what's the message here? And so we really dug deep and we dived into, you know, different things from, you know, we have a story. I'm trying to think here.
You're thinking about the Giving Tree?
Yes. Thank you. The Giving Tree.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we took that story and, you know, we really dived into it and we're like, you know, we really want to tell this story on stage and move it. So that's one. And where basically all this came from, though, is I created a piece. I got really inspired by Maya Angelou, who doesn't, you know, love Maya Angelou, and huge fan. And so I just got really moved by her and I started, you know, dancing to her poem called And Still I Rise.
Mm-hmm.
And I just found it a very powerful statement, just a very powerful title in general. So I dived into that and, you know, created a piece. And about a couple years ago, I think it's been already now. Yeah, wow.
That happens. You know, time moves and then
time evolves.
You wake up one day and you're like, whoa, 4 years ago.
Okay. Wow, is that a gray hair? Yeah, exactly.
I don't know about that.
Well,
I got like 10 years.
No, I do know all too well. Anytime I get into a place that has good lighting,
I got gray in my beard.
It's like, oh man, I am. Anyway, go on. I'm sorry.
Fresno does it to you.
Yeah, right.
It's the heat.
Oh yeah. So, you know, I created that piece and everybody, you know, was really receptive of it and really loved the piece. And so I said, hey, you know, this is a good idea. I think this is a really good idea to create pieces on you know, words, mm-hmm. you know, that inspire, you know, an artist, you know. So I said, you know what? I'm just going to do it. I'm, you know, not thinking about it. I'm just going to create a show based on literature and, you know, words that inspire us, poems. And that. So that's what me and my company have been doing. And they, you know, did their research on, you know, what they felt inspired by. And we have 10 pieces now in the show.
And so is it, are you actually doing the dance to the spoken word then? Or is there music that sort of...
There, There's different. We took different takes. So like my piece "And Still I Rise" to Maya Angelou, I'm actually performing it to her voice.
Okay. Yeah.
But others actually took a song, and it's all instrumental. That's what I decided to do for the whole show. I said, don't go get some, you know, song that has lyrics in it, because then you're going to be fighting with the poem that you're working with, sure, and the lyrics, you know. So it's all instrumental music, if, you know, those that chose to use instrumental music. But there's a couple of spoken word pieces, and then we have a lot of instrumental music that they're dancing their pieces to.
Okay.
So one of the artists that they used was the composer Arvo Part. I know there's a piece called, I call it the water piece, but what is it?
Oh, Alone in a Pool of Darkness. Okay,
the actual title is called Alone in a Pool of Darkness. So that's like Arvo Part. So classical, you know, violin. Right. Mm-hmm. And then another piece that was choreographed was based off of a poem by Chana Bloch called Tired Sex.
Yeah.
And so what did you name that?
I named that Strike a Match.
Strike a Match. And that was actually recorded to... We commissioned Patrick Contreras, the local violin player, to take a song by Muse called Undisclosed Desires,
to cover it
in a way that we needed him to cover. Mm-hmm, you know, specific direction, and he did, a fabulous job. The song, you can find it on his SoundCloud. Mm-hmm. You know, it's actually really cool. My and then watching with the company, it's awesome.
Yeah. I think we should listen to it right now.
Yeah, can we get that?
Thank you.
cool.
Nice.
And so if, when you're, I think it's interesting the idea of, you know, because I a lot of times think of words and writing as having a certain musical quality to them. You know, I think that the best writers sort of have an idea of how the words flow. Words can sort of have a rhythm and a pattern and those sorts of
definitely
things. So is that something that you were looking at when you were putting some of this stuff together as well, especially for the ones that are like more of the spoken word thing?
Oh yeah, definitely. It actually, you know, like I said, it started out with doing my piece for to Maya Angelou's poem. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I heard a rhythm, yeah, in her voice and the way that she would say and recite her poem. And
you may write me down in history with your bitter twisted lies.
So she has that flow.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so it just has it has its own kind of song. Mm-hmm. You know,
kind of flow. And the way she says it, you know, Maya Angelou's voice is so distinctive.
Right, yeah. Right.
You know, and so the way she talks is just kind of lulling, you know, and wise. I think her voice sounds
very wise.
Yeah. You know, as an older woman. And so when jazz dance, well, at least, you know, as watching her dance as a spectator, the movement, she doesn't really dance exact. Well, no, she does do some literal movement to that, but a lot of it is just very much in line with the speech pattern. Like you're talking about the prosody of the words, you know, just how it flows. And so.
Yeah. And what's great about that is like we've, you know, like you said, we play with the rhythms and things like that. And, you know, as dancers, we love to play, you know, so we not only went with the flow of the sound of her voice, but sometimes we filled the empty, quiet moments mm-hmm. with movement.
Okay, right.
So, so that's what's really nice about doing this show, you know, to some spoken word.
And is this sort of the main thing that you're doing for the company, like, you know, for the year, or will there be other things that you're...
Oh, there will for sure be other things, this is just, you know, one project that we've been working with. And, you know, I'm sure we'll always come back to this because this is, you know, part of our repertoire mm-hmm, now. Mm-hmm. But we definitely plan on working on a lot more different things in the future.
Yeah, and typically, how many of these sort of shows do you do in a given year, or have you been doing, like?
Right now, it's once a year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I kind of like it like that, too. It gives me some time to really think and have my creative process mm-hmm. first, and then go in with my dancers and create with them mm-hmm. and... So, yeah, it's once a year.
Cool. And talk maybe a little bit about sort of the modern dance, or, well, the dance scene, I guess, in general, and then maybe just more specifically the modern dance scene in Fresno and, you know, where you see it going. And, I mean, it seems like, at least to me, that there are, you know, you guys and a couple other dance companies that are trying to do things and trying to get be a little more creative and sort of pushing the envelope with things. So, I mean, what's your take on, I mean, it's definitely gotten out of, just being Fresno State, Fresno City,
right,
doing, you know, their dance shows. Yeah.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. You know, the studios always have, you know, some great, you know, repertoire to learn from. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we have people like Amy Kareen that's doing her NoCo mm-hmm. and, actually we actually had, Beth McGill, who was here, for quite a while. And, you know, we have some really great instructors here that are, you know, also creating pieces, you know, outside of Fresno City. And, you know, like Crystal Tiscareno, Cara Bithel also has had her group called Baba.
Mm-hmm.
And so, mm-hmm. Yeah, so, you know, there's a lot of, you know, modern dance here. Mm-hmm. And it's, I think it's booming and it's thriving more and more in Fresno.
It's growing. It's definitely not like the music scene in Fresno. I think we have a pretty established music scene. Mm-hmm. Looking as an outsider, you know, being married into it, really. Right. That's how I got. I didn't know nothing about this world till I got married into it, honestly. There's really great schools. There's really great schools for parents to put their children mm-hmm. in. Really great teachers and ballet. Really great mm-hmm. teachers, modern as well, and jazz, but it doesn't really ever leave competition level dancing.
Yeah.
in Fresno City, like you mentioned before, there's the they have the city dances, and Fresno State has their program as well, which I think is really great for dance. But other than that, before NoCo and before our company, there and maybe Baba too, there's very, very, very little dance going on outside of those organizations. So we're excited now. I mean, I had mentioned to you this earlier before we got started. Imagine being in a city with two or three bands.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really, really. There's schools like you go get lessons,
right? But
you know what I mean. But like actual two or three bands to plan. So there's a lot of room for creativity for you know all the different companies. A lot of room for growth, like we were talking about before, because it's a niche and there's people that love it.
Yeah.
Alonzo Lines came. He's a very, very famous ballet choreographer that lives in the Bay Area. He brought his school, not his school, he brought his professional company.
His company, they,
yeah. Yeah, it was Donald Monroe talked about. It was like beautiful work that they do. So we've had really nice dance comes through. But locally, you know, there's really only those two or three companies that are doing it.
Right. Yeah.
So there's definitely that room to sort of...
Always room to grow.
Yeah.
Always room to grow, but I can see it going up more and more for sure. Because I think about it and I'm like, you know, before I even started my company, which was about, 3 years ago? Mm-hmm. Thinking about it. 3 years ago, it's like there's not that much, you know, and it's like, wow, in 3 years, it's actually grown quite a bit. And so it's looking up, you know, it's definitely looking up.
And what made you decide like that you needed or that you wanted to start a company and start your own, you know, to make something that was your own and push it forward like that?
That's kind of a funny question because I've always, my husband knows this, I've always been a very decisive and determined person. And I decided...
No peer pressure for her. Not even from her.
Yeah, so I decided I wanted to do this when I was 8 years old, if you can believe it. So... and I remember the actual moment, you know, sitting in front of the TV watching a dancer dance on television, probably PBS or something, you know.
Soul Gold Dancers.
Soul Gold Dancers. That's what I was going to say. It was Soul Train.
That was for me, anyway.
Yeah. So, you know, just watching dance, I remember telling my mom, that's how I want to be. And I'm going to do it, Mom. I'm going to do it. So, you know, growing up and everything, ended up getting put in classes and all that good stuff, and ended up falling in love with it, of course. And so I just kept going on with it. And then, you know, I started discovering new dances and everything, and, you know, starting out with from flamenco and then modern and contemporary and ballet. And I was like, oh, my gosh, I want to do all of these, you know. So that's, you know, went to school for it and everything. I've just always decided that I wanted to do, you know, dance, and I wanted to create, you know, pieces, my own pieces with my own dancers and have a company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cool. And how many dancers are in the company?
Then? Right now there's 10.
Okay.
So that's awesome. A lot. That's a lot for me.
And they're all going to be, are they all part of this, the show then?
They are all part of the show. Yes.
There's four choreographers that choreographed from the company.
Right.
Okay.
Four choreographers and then just 10 dancers total with 10 pieces total.
Nice. Yeah. So give people just the quick rundown, like everything they need to know if they want to come and see this thing.
All right. Well, you know, obviously the show is February 1st. That lands on a Saturday at the Grand on 10, which is right across the way from Warner's. And for tickets, you can go online to http://carice.brownpapertickets.com. Or you can also contact me. If you know me.
Okay.
So, yeah. Or
Facebook,
Omar.
Or
Facebook. Yeah. You know, Facebook me. Jasmine La Caris.
Cool.
So.
And that's C-A-R-I-S, yes?
Correct.
Okay.
You got it.
Is the company then also on Facebook or have a webpage?
Oh, yeah. That's okay. You can find them through me.
Cool.
You can find them on Facebook,
Tumblr,
too.
So, caris.tumblr.
There you go.
Also, yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, just look at C-A-R-I-S and then.
There it is.
Yeah.
You got it.
Okay, so thank you so much. Cool, that was really an interesting conversation. to be here.
Where else?
I know nothing about dance. You know, I mean,
yeah, I mean,
I took a ballet class once.
Yeah,
yeah.
One
what?
Awesome.
Yeah. So here it is. So when I was in high school, right, my mom, my mom was a her friend, one of her best friends, had a ballet school down at Kingsburg, and you know if. And you probably know this. They're always looking for guys to dance,
oh, God,
right?
Yes,
because they have all like they have lots, but they don't always have guys. So any time that you know she could get people she knew, kind of guilt them into coming, right, like whatever. Right. So there were like five of us that like different people that she had like guilted in, like similar age. I was in high school. I went to one class and I was like, no, this is ridiculous. It was hard. It was so hard. I mean, it was now I probably would be like, oh, okay, that's fine. Cause I'm a little more in shape and I kind of like, you know, I enjoy that kind of stuff. But in high school or just out of high school, it was like, no, I don't want to do this. It's ridiculous. Like it was one of the hardest things I've probably, you know, ever done. It was just like...
But the girls.
So,
all the girls.
That's what they say.
That's what they say. That's how you pull them in, huh?
Say.
Yes,
so many girls.
I don't know.
I'm guilty as charged. Yes, I have done that.
I don't know. Anyway, so that's my story. And I also actually did, you know, they do the Nutcracker here every year, and I actually did, like, I worked I was a stagehand, you know.
Oh,
so
nice.
Essentially, I made sure the tree like got rolled out on stage and pulled out.
The tree's
you know?
Important. Wow. The tree's very
that was
important.
It. That was it. Wow, and then I got to mop the mats in between all the shows so that no one would fall. You know,
there you go.
I was very important.
Oh, absolutely.
And we dancers, thank you for that.
Yeah,
we need those people.
It was. Do you have an IMDb page?
We need the tree pushers.
I actually think that was probably. That might have been my first job because I got paid for it. You know, it was very. They gave me a flat rate for, you know, I was going to be there a few days.
Union.
Whatever. It was a union, though.
Union tree pusher.
Anyway, there you go. All right. So,
I always like when I'm on a podcast with Fresnans that I haven't talked to on a podcast. Where do you guys like to hang out in Fresno? What are like some of your hangouts?
Right.
Non-dance hangouts.
Yeah, just hang out.
Like obviously you're in the studio all the freaking time, I'm sure.
Yeah. I would say that in general, we kind of tend to hang around Tower downtown area, just in general. Because we recently moved outside of the Tower, we're kind of a little more towards Ashland and 99.
Okay.
We've been kind of trying to explore that. There's not very much.
There's not much on that side.
Yosemite Falls Cafe. You know, like, that's your scene over there.
You're right. Ashland and
That's Yosemite Falls. Yeah. There's a Starbucks there. We got a Deli Delicious.
Yeah, Deli Delicious just moved in over
there. That's right.
You know, so there's a couple things, but really... It is.
There's a sushi place there.
Is Gold Diggers down that way? No, not Gold Diggers.
It's not.
What's
Gold
Sugar Daddy? Remember she was that?
I remember that, Josh. That's something you went to all the time.
Is Rudy Chicken Man? Is that over there?
Chicken Man is more like.
That's Weber and Weber and West.
There's something called the Chicken Coop, though. I think
or not West. Okay,
I don't know. It's Chicken.
No, there's a sushi place there, too.
Okay.
That's across from the deli.
Right? Like
All right.
I've never been there. Is it good?
It's supposed to be decent.
All right.
I have not been there, though.
It's looking good.
Yeah, we should
go. Stuff.
And like a pho restaurant just opened. Whoa. I don't know if it's good.
See, this is what is similar to what we were talking about because of that development that's going on out there, Grantland and Shaw.
Grantland.
I was talking about how that side of 99 just doesn't have anything to... hang its hat on outside the ice rink.
Like, you're right, the gateway, right? Gateway ice center.
Or
you're
right, that's really not that much. We were looking for a cafe. I remember like maybe what 2 weeks ago.
We were
trying to find just a cafe we can sit in that wasn't Starbucks,
because
not that I have anything against Starbucks, it's just sometimes they play the music really loud, and when you need to like concentrate, you want to concentrate, but I didn't want to be at home. And so we were looking for a coffee house, and there was nothing. There used to be a place a long time ago called Sweets Cafe. It was a long time ago, and they used to have the most amazing quiche. But I don't know. They're gone now.
So, interesting enough, on this livability index that we were talking about earlier, they actually had like number of copy houses per 100,000 people, and we were very low on the list.
Yeah,
we don't have that many coffee houses. I think we had like 29 per every 100,000 person or something.
Because we just
which
like
maybe the sounds we like a lot, but
too much.
Yeah,
it's we're not just like right. Oh, there's a Starbucks. That's fine.
Yeah,
I do like how Dutch Brothers is really busy over there.
Yeah.
I've never even been to them yet.
It's pretty good.
Is it good?
It's pretty good.
Well, usually when I go for coffee, like I love Cafe Corazon.
There's one on Ashland way out there by the airport, and then there's one on board.
Cafe Corazon is great, and I would go there more often if it were closer to where I normally
are,
but it's not.
Yeah, me neither, not anymore. I love some of the food that they were doing. I thought that was good, too. But, yeah. Again, we don't live in that area anymore. It's so funny how you really kind of adapt to your area that you're living in. You know, there's nothing much to do. So believe it or not, we've had a lot more time to be creative.
Well, there you go. You know, let's see. See, so everyone goes, creativity. Nothing to do in Fresno. It's a plus.
You can be creative.
Because you can not, as long as you don't waste your time watching Netflix
nothing
or whatever.
Served to you on the silver platter unless you count restaurants. Right. River Park restaurants.
Yeah, there you go.
You've been to the smoke, the spice house smoke thingamajig?
No.
On Nice and Boxing yet?
No. What is this?
What? The thing that took over Trader.
Whatever that place was. It's the new Dave Fansler place. You know, he's the guy who did Pismos.
Right.
Barbecue spice something.
The fact that we don't know what it's called probably.
But it's been, of course, it's packed.
Yeah. Well,
but that guy does good. He knows how to put a restaurant together.
Is he the guy who did Willikers?
No, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know that, but I know he started Tajo Joe's. Yeah.
I think he's the guy back in the day.
Something happened with some sort of fraud, like insurance fraud or something, and they lost the Tajo Joe's and then restarted.
What happened?
Yeah,
Yosemite Ranch and Pismos.
He's like the white Bobby Salazar.
I don't know what happened. Okay, I'm just randomly saying things. I don't know.
Let me tell you, the other day I was in the Tower District and walking by Bobby Salazar, and Bobby was there.
What?
He was outside.
You know, you recognize him?
Yes. Oh no, I recognized him, and I was like,
"You're a whoa! What's up, Bobby?"
No, I really was like, "Oh man," and I felt like. So I was there with Hillary, and I felt like going, "Hey, that's Bobby Salazar," you know. And then I had to stop myself because Bobby doesn't know who it is.
Bobby Salazar. that guy has a song named after him.
The song is called Bobby Salazar. Bobby Salazar. Came the visionary Mexican restaurateur. Thank you. I'm sorry, I got all distracted. I'll do that one more time. In the central San Joaquin Valley, in a town called Fresno, came the visionary Mexican restaurateur. And he formed a chain of eateries in and around the town when a controversial incident tried to take him down.
It's really just kind of a weird thing, because it anyway, that's Fresno for you. okay, so we might be wrapping this thing up, huh? Oh, yeah. Do you have some other stuff, Mike?
No. What, Omar? I want to know who are your favorite musicians in town.
Ooh,
my favorite musicians in town.
It's putting you on the spot.
There's a lot of musicians that have great feel, but the kind of things that I look for, I like musicians that have gotten to a point where they stop thinking about their own playing and they're thinking about the audience.
Mm, you know what I mean?
So,
all right.
So, for example, Ray Moore, drummer with Espacio. I love Ray Moore because not only is he technically a really great musician, fantastic musician, can read music, can read a chart, can, you know, be in those types of settings. At the same time, he knows how to have a great time. Can put, you know, just grooves. I just love people that have graduated to that.
Right, yeah.
So you stop looking at your instrument and you're like playing to people. Yeah. You're entertained. Yeah, yeah. You know, I like that. So I really love Patrick. I love Patrick when Patrick has given himself direction. Then I really love Patrick. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And because I think, again, he can emote and connect with people. I love... I love flamenco, so there's a couple of musicians in town. Like, he's not really well known, but Brian Garcia plays flamenco. He teaches at for Central Unified. He teaches. It's awesome at Central Unified because they've just instituted a guitar program. They're letting him teach three guitar classes, which really different schools, which is really unheard of, especially for this part. And
now, is Eva teaching out there too?
Do you know? I think she's teaching an orchestra class in Central.
Yeah, because I had talked to her. She used to have the radio show on KFSR just before us, and she actually left. And I think one of the reasons was she was busy doing that stuff, and she said she was going out and doing some stuff there. And I was like, wow, that's pretty.
Eva's cool, yeah. Mike Taylor, the one that also plays with Eva. I really love. A lot of people haven't had the opportunity to hear him play classical guitar. If you ever get the opportunity to hear, because he's always playing jazz, he's always playing with Eva, you know, so they're playing that.
Yeah, yeah.
But when he sits and plays classical guitar, it's gorgeous.
Yeah.
And I hope that he has, I don't want to say the courage, because he definitely has courage, but I hope that he will one day put himself out there to get some gigs and actually play that kind of stuff. Because I think people he doesn't choose traditional pieces. He chooses pieces that are very interesting, really, really beautiful. So Mike Taylor is a guitarist that I really love.
There you go.
And I love the folky musicians. Yeah, I love people that are not afraid to play, like, just hardcore. So if you're going to play punk, then I want to hear punk.
Right,
you know what I mean? If you're going to play, I just like you to be, as a musicians that I like, are people that are true to their style.
Right.
If you're going to play country, bluegrass, then let's play some bluegrass. You know what I mean? I like that.
Cool. Yeah. There are some people, who are playing it, and you kind of just get a feel that, like, well, what are you really doing?
I think a lot of people can hear that there's not any authenticity. Like, we've all learned things kind of, I got to learn this song. I've done that. Like, I have to learn this kind of groove for this song, and I can kind of fake my way through it. I love when I can hear and know and feel that the people are not faking
it. Right, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and I've seen young musicians that are playing hardcore. I go up to this music camp in the mountains every year, and there's young people that are playing traditional like saws. There's this kid that's playing a saw. You know what I mean? That's cool. To me, that's cool when you're dedicating yourself to something, because that's a different voice a different path that some people have forgotten about. We've forgotten about that in pop culture. I think it's cool.
There's a question we've always rolled around with and never really said definitively. Fresno doesn't really have a sound. Like, it's so across the board, everything that there isn't like, that band's from Fresno or something. Do you think that Fresno has that at all?
I definitely don't think that Fresno has that in the English market. I'm privileged because I get to see really both sides, like the English and the Spanish market. And I think in some of the Mexican styles of music, like in some of the bandas that play here and like the Norteña bands, Fresno has a sound.
Oh, yeah?
That's cool. Like, and some of the Mexican...
See, that's the first something definitively we've heard.
We've
been talking to the wrong people.
I guess so, right.
You know, but I think we're getting there. I think people are starting to pay attention to the scene. When people, and I don't just mean the musicians themselves, but I think when we start getting audiences that pay attention, then you're going to start seeing people. I feel the musicians are going to step up to the plate. Again, we're playing... I know myself, on one night I'll be playing jazz and another night I'll be playing something else. And so it's kind of hard to say, you know what, this is who I am.
Right.
And I really feel that it's okay for me to make a decision and play this style of music and this is who I am. And if you're going to judge me based on this, what you're putting out there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think we're getting to that point. And when we get to that point and enough musicians have the courage to take that stand, then I definitely think that we'll start seeing a Fresno sound come.
Yeah.
But people, I don't know, we're just like, I got to get some gigs and I got to play some covers so people dance.
Right.
And, you know what I mean? I got to think. And so.
Got to get paid.
I got to get paid. You know, so we're still in that mode. I think when we get over that, which I feel is coming soon. I know that I've been fortunate enough to be involved in projects that are trying to look at music that way. And I think that helps a lot when more people are doing that.
Yeah.
All right. I like it.
Cool. Is there anything else?
I think that's about it. Do you know who's running the Fresno Memes Facebook page?
I don't know.
You don't know? You really don't know?
I really don't know. And I saw
whoever it is killing it. He's starting to taper off, but have you seen this on Facebook? It's Fresno Memes, and he's just doing, you know, memes. He's doing Fresno style.
Meanwhile, in Fresno,
The best one. I like him because I don't know. They don't like Clovis, They like dig Clovis, which I enjoy.
Yeah.
They dig Clovis.
The like yeah, there's one that where it's just two old white guys walking these little dogs with leashes, and they're all meanwhile and in the Clovis ghetto. And it's just two white guys in a track homes walking little dogs.
I saw that.
I think I saw one of those. I think I saw one where it was showing like Mexican gangsters hardcore.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it said Fresno. Yeah. And then it showed like some white guys white that dudes. Were like trying to dress cholo style.
Right.
Like white guys, you know what
and
I mean?
It's like
Clovis,
yeah.
Clovis gangs.
Yeah. did you see? So the Business Journal had an interview with the Facebook person? The guy or girl.
Yeah.
But they wouldn't say who they were.
Oh.
But
that's
they
good.
Said they were in the media.
Oh.
And they went by the initials KS.
KS.
This is for those memes? Is
that yeah. Who so someone runs the Facebook site, you know.
There was a Twitter account a while back.
I think it's a different person that was doing the Twitter account.
Yeah. But anyway, it's pretty it's crazy because it is pretty they've had, you know, it's getting a lot of followers and people are, I see it all the time on Facebook and
really
makes me laugh.
I'm gonna have to check it out because I'm on Facebook pretty. You mean you have to
what,
be, you know?
Well, yeah. What I don't know, sort of pisses me off as a blogger is like it's
like
got
you're stealing all my
it's
ideas.
A crap ton of likes. Uh-huh, yeah. Like
more
like
than
an insane amount of likes for Fresno, you know, just something that's just
I
Fresno
think they got
me.
Like
that bothers you or
well, like sort of because it's just like right. Well, that's what gets popular.
Right. Yeah. Meanwhile, there's all sorts of musicians,
But, hey, I'm one of the people that watch.
I think they, 50,000, like, within the first couple
crazy,
of days or something.
Crazy,
yeah, I mean, it was ridiculous.
So, a kind of vileness that it
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's, I mean,
so
also that
we
kind of
figure
stuff
that
is popular. Yeah.
Kevin Smith?
It's. I'll send you the, I'll send you a link if I can find it, and maybe we'll post one up when we post this to the to the thing, the interview. It was a really interesting interview, kind of talking about how it started. And then, you know, he gets, you know, hundreds of these things from people like every day almost.
Oh,
like
okay.
People will send him.
He's got to filter
you know,
it.
He makes some, or he or she, I don't know. They do some of it.
Uh-huh.
And then, but they also get stuff all the time from outsiders. And,
see, why didn't I just do that?
See? Yeah, could have been making some money.
Yeah, and some Fresno memes.
So the last thing that we typically do on the show is our plugs, where we just kind of plug whatever it is that we have working on. Plug it up. And there's music that goes along with that. If you didn't
hear it,
you can't hear it. Cause
I hear it.
That's studio music.
It's in my head.
We call that fixing it in post. Is that what?
Sure.
Anyway,
what's going on with you, Josh?
Oh, we're gonna start with me.
Yeah, I want to.
So I'm in this little band called Little Girl Back, and we actually
punk.
Yeah, no, we're a punk band. We have a couple shows coming up. We have a show on the 23rd. It's a Thursday at Audie's with a band called City Mouse. They're coming in from down in, I think they're from Riverside, and a band from Michigan called the Hunky Something. They're going to hate me. I can't remember their name. But anyway, cool band. And Wolf Ghost.
Wolf Ghost?
Yeah, they're a newer kind of band.
They're from... They're local?
They're a local band. They're
who's,
a local band.
Is there anyone
it's,
in
there? You know, Trevor, William Trevor Church, mm-hmm. who's also in, I don't know, he has a new band or a different band all the time. Like metal punk kind of stuff. So it's his new project. So
okay,
pretty excited. And then next Saturday, the 25th, we'll be playing at Frank's Place with Ludicidal, which is a couple of the guys. The
oh, it's
original.
At Frank's. I thought you were saying it was at Strummer's.
No, it's at Frank's Place.
Okay.
It's a couple of the guys from Suicidal Tendencies. This is one of those diehards present shows. And there's a couple other local bands, I think, playing Triptotronic, The Genetics. Probably one more that are flaking on right now. But so those are the two shows coming up for us, and I think they'll be good. I'll also plug my day job at the Fresno Beehive, Fresno Bee, columns out on Friday. and other stuff that I do there. And FuseFest.com.
Oh, yeah. There's going to be
a... And the FuseFest. There will be an announcement soon.
Date announcement. Save the date announcement.
Save the date coming up. So we will be doing that again this year. We decided to do that again this year. So, yeah. So,
you better be playing. You better be...
Yeah. We'll
pay. I want to.
All right.
Sure.
There you go.
It might give me... I think it's good. When you guys announce the date, then it'll probably give me incentive.
There you go.
To finish my album.
All right, yeah. There you go. So we have one act booked.
one act possibly booked.
Yeah. So go ahead. Let's let you guys have a chance. I mean, obviously, we'll plug your show again, Literary Movements. Yeah, but anything else you want to plug too? Feel free.
Patrick Contreras asked me to help him produce his new album. So people should that are interested in violin and Patrick Contreras' mm-hmm. work should definitely start following that story. He's going to do a Kickstarter to raise the money.
Ooh.
And then that's probably going to happen in February. And then he's going to do a kickoff concert in Fresno right around the time, probably at Fulton 55. We haven't figured out the date yet. But then we're going to end a tour, a California tour, at the Catacomb Party. That's when we're going to end it. So find all these dates around this. So that's what we're working on right now. We've been writing music. In fact, that's where I came from before I came here.
Oh, okay.
You know, I was working with Patrick and we were writing, and so that's what I'm doing. My album, which is going to be kind of a Spanglish album.
Cool.
Omar Narea, that's what I'm plugging. And what else? That's what I can plug. And then you can
right.
And then, you know, what we talked about earlier, my production, my dance production, Literary Movements, February 1st. That's on a Saturday at the Grand on 10. Tickets at carrie.brownpapertickets.com.
And tickets are how much?
Ooh, $20.
Okay.
Yeah, good
perfect.
Question.
Yeah.
Thank
yes.
you.
And
general seating first come first serve.
Okay, yeah.
In the front
open
back.
So obviously in advance people can buy at the door as well, though.
People can buy at the door for sure. Okay. We're encouraging people to buy. We're almost sold out. Well, I think we probably have like 28 left online.
Oh,
we
nice.
Do have we have definitely some on us, so
sure,
if people
yeah,
want to
yeah.
call, like they can call Jasmine at 559-473-8184. Mm-hmm. And
you really wanting to throw that out there, huh?
No,
yes.
no, that's
I'm
fine.
Just kidding.
Or me.
Fresno famous sisters are crazy.
She had a stuff.
It's like, already out there.
No,
so.
Man, she had okay, a little. Right, it was well. Weird. Yeah, but it's a business number. It's a business number.
Okay, okay.
So, like, yeah, 473-184. They can find out about tickets.
You got caller ID, so.
Yeah,
for sure. Yeah, if it says... What does it say? Like, not undisclosed or no? If we can't see the number,
right,
it's not going to
answer. Yeah, you're like, leave a message.
This is crazy podcast listener. Don't pick it up.
Yeah. So people can definitely find out about tickets there.
Cool.
Yeah.
Anything
sure.
else?
I think that is it.
All right. And plug the company again as well.
Yeah.
Just so people
Caris
can know
& Company
that.
Is okay. my company. Caris & Company. And I have, I got to mention them, you know, Danny Moe. He's my co-artistic director.
For sure.
And I have some really great dancers with me right now. And Whitney Horde, Jackie Lovely, and Rudy Turan, Michaela Davis, Janice Gonzalez, Courtney Lopez, and...
You're going to forget somebody.
Pahua, I am not. Pahua Bang.
Yes.
And Jean Bang. And I'm forgetting anybody.
I don't think you are. Okay. I think that's everybody.
Did I do it? Yeah. If I forgot anybody, I love you.
Right. They'll let you know.
I'll try to get some links in the show notes
as
well.
Listen to the podcast.
Well.
Yeah, that'd
be on
awesome.
On our Podbean page.
Thefamous.podbean.com.
So
we hope nice. People come again because
oh, yeah.
it's like it's not something common
yeah.
really that we see in Fresno. No, I mean, I go to music shows mostly. I go to dance shows because of my wife, but they're so far and in between that I think that if you're cool and if you're living in Fresno, you're gonna expand your mind a little bit and go see something.
Well,
new.
And it seems like even for dance things that this is a little bit outside of that, even and it works in some other elements. That I think are really cool. So.
I think what we're trying to do really is just bring fine art, because it is a beautiful art, and bring it to the people.
Yeah.
I think if people realize, because hip hop is beautiful, hip hop dance, break dancing, that's awesome. It is, you know, and ballet is just as beautiful in a different way.
Yeah.
But it's a study of grace, and modern is, I don't know how you just.
modern is just awesome. What are you talking about? It's so free and open and everywhere and up and down. And yeah, so I love modern, obviously. You know, I think we're just trying to bring, you know, like Omar said, fine arts and just, you know, bring back that time where everybody was like excited to go to the theater, you know, and see a live show, you know? So
something that's not YouTube.
Exactly.
So don't watch it on YouTube, people. You can't find it on YouTube. Will it be on YouTube eventually?
It's going to be on YouTube.
Maybe eventually.
Maybe.
Yeah, you don't know.
But maybe.
Yeah. You'll forget.
All right, Mike, what do you got to plug?
As always, our little family of podcasts.
Dorktown.
Flowing of Famous. Flowing of Famous. And the Perfect Four. Make sure dorktownpodcast.com and
see them all.
The Dorktown Network link in there.
Nice.
And we are on Twitter, Flowing with Pod. And you can email me. And I'm also at the Fresnan as well.
Yeah.
And you, what's your Twitter?
At Joshua Teehee.
There you go.
Yeah, you can find me.
Boom. There.
Cool. Well, thank you guys so much for coming on.
Thank you.
I think it was super fun podcast. I think there was a lot of good stuff there. For the listeners, if you enjoyed it, go ahead and give us a good review on Twitter. Give us one of them thumbs up. Is it thumbs up on Stitcher? You can like us iTunes, on, you know, follow us on Twitter, whatever.
iTunes, and you can review it.
Okay. And we will return with another episode someday.
Yeah.
So,
2 weeks.
You know, we try to get on a schedule and then life happens. So, and I will sing us out because that is what I do. 2, 3, 4.